Hello, everybody. Today's July 22nd. It's still hot as hell here. And we're doing... Remember Robot? What was the other one? I immediately forgot.
Business. The one that we do every Wednesday, pretty much.
Sometimes we do business up front.
Sometimes we'll mess around with it. But this week, the story...
Business in the front, party in the back.
They were so small, the blocks this week. Short week. Whether that's good or bad is subjective. But one of the big things that happened last week, and I somehow completely missed this.
I saw it.
Was it during work? No, I mean, I saw the story, but it didn't affect me.
Yes, it was during work.
Okay.
We suffered tremendously.
So I must have just been on some SSH at the time. I didn't do any DNS lookups during that period of time. But Cloudflare, which is kind of a proxy sitting in front of the internet at this point for any website that matters, went down.
Cloudflare DNS goes down, taking a large piece of the internet with it. Yeah, it just stopped working. Womp womp.
They figured out it was a piece of equipment in Atlanta that was improperly configured. How do you think that guy feels?
Real bad.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, the worst thing for him is this is the last week you get that extra $600 of unemployment.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, it says... See, I didn't really notice it on many websites, but I noticed Discord went down. You couldn't get back on it. It was only for like maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That I noticed
it. They did troubleshoot it very quickly.
Yeah.
Yay for resilient infrastructure.
I guess. Even though one piece of equipment did take it down.
That's not resilient enough.
But 30 minutes of downtime on Discord, how much does that cost them?
I'd say that outage probably was in the tens of millions of dollars.
And for a big website,
yeah,
like Nike or someplace like that, Amazon, if you take Amazon down for 30 minutes, forget it.
Yeah.
You might just seppuku before.
Can you imagine all the self-important people out there that were like, their website that doesn't get any traffic except for bot traffic was also down during that time, and you're getting the most autistic emails ever.
I liked the stories about how people absolutely lost their mind because all the blue checks on Twitter couldn't post for a certain amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
Power to the people. And
I know what to think.
Exactly. LinkedIn, we've been following the story about LinkedIn. If you look at, because Apple changed the security alerts on the iPhone, we discovered that LinkedIn likes to look at your clipboard.
And a lot.
Look at your, literally anytime you punch in anything on the soft keypad, it looks at your clipboard. It's like, got a new clipboard? Can I look at it? Can I look at it? And because Apple has this crazy ecosystem, the clipboard is universal among all your devices. So if you have something clipped on your Mac and you go to your iPad, LinkedIn can still look at it. That is a huge, huge security problem. And unsurprisingly,
LinkedIn has been sued over allegations that secretly reads Apple's users' clipboard content. This is a Reuters article. This goes on to describe a dystopian situation where a LinkedIn user is like, this should not be doing this. Why is it doing this? It is, in fact, abusing the shared clipboard is not just wide open. There's actually some policies you have to follow with that. And so this guy goes on to just make this really, really just insane case against LinkedIn. And their only response was, well, we updated it not to do that anymore.
Have they done it yet, though? I think they were working on it.
No, I think it has at the time of this video. Yeah, it's out. But
how many years did they do it?
Yeah, forever. Yeah. Once again, another data point. LinkedIn, not a great company.
And their defense is going to be, if a lawyer protects against that one, they've earned their money's worth.
Yeah,
that's a tough one to defend because they did it. We know they did it. And we know that the thing that they took could be insanely private. I mean, you could have images on your clipboard.
LinkedIn is literally a tool of worker oppression, pretty much.
Heard it here first.
We heard it here first like 2 years ago. Seize the means of computation.
GitHub is, they have decided that the world's source code, should be preserved for, you know, the future generations after the fall. And it's interesting, you know, because this is going to be a great RPG someday, right? A real world RPG, because you can't just get all of human knowledge from the before time. You have to journey to the Arctic.
GitHub just buried a giant open source archive in an Arctic vault for 1,000 years. It was over a petabyte, wasn't it?
Yeah, or a massive
something
amount.
Crazy. The Internet Archive also announced that they were going to archive about 55 terabytes from GitHub, various projects. Now, if I'd known that everybody was going to make a big deal about this, I would have totally done more than when we first started level one than just burying a hard drive in a weather-sealed box in my backyard.
This is going to be right next to the World Seed Bank, which is also stored in these abandoned mines in the Arctic. So that when you complete that mission, you are going to be so rich in the new, you know, the after times. But because it's the most, obviously you want to get as much information as you can in there. So they got rid of all the binaries, but the way they're archiving it is by QR code. So, you know, like that Intrepid Explorer is going to get there and he's going to pull, it's on Reels. So he's going to pull the Reels out and he's like, what are these symbols? I don't understand.
It's not a dog.
They do have how to decode it in plain text with it.
I want the really horrible Time Machine movie remake. We have the technology finally to build some sort of interactive avatar like that. So we need to build a piece of technology that will last 10,000 years. That when you show up, it wakes up and it can talk to you. Probably not in your language for a while, but it could give you this stuff to decode it and be like, oh, what is this place? It's like, this is what this place is.
Screw them.
Because we always go, it's like, oh, this is a necropolis. This is for burying the dead. Can you imagine if you had that in ancient Egypt? It's like, what is this amazing monument? It's like, it's just a cemetery. That's all.
Drink the red liquid. It'll make you powerful. Google has what, Krista?
Is it Gatorade?
I think they figured out it was sewage.
Yeah.
But Egyptian sewage. Ancient Egyptian sewage. Which has powerful properties.
No, I didn't think it was ancient sewage. I thought it was
like
sewage.
Somebody had run a line.
It's just normal
also,
sewage.
It's like, hey, I want to get a... I need to get, you know, a license. I'm going to be running some sewage. Oh, yeah, where are you going to do that? Don't worry about that. It's nowhere important.
Listen, if they can hit a fiber line and take out my internet, I'm pretty sure that they can hit a sarcophagus and wake the dead.
It's the old call before you dig. Where are you? Oh, there's a big triangle. I don't know. Now, we talked about Google and their antitrust woes. And all that pretty much boils down to the ads. But how do you get eyes on your ads if you're Google?
You control, keep them on Google.
You control the world's search engine. And that's the... Of course, that doesn't make them money specifically, but when you incorporate the ads into it, it's just, you know, they just print money. So what do you do if you're Google and those pesky search results are a better answer than your ads?
Google search makes changes and makes it more expensive to win traffic is the Bloomberg headline. What they're talking about is Google is moving to actually displaying content on the search results page to prevent people from leaving Google. But scarier than that, if you click on something like this, the example has a guy that offers a service or something, and his results will bring in like pictures and some of the information from his article. And if you click on that, it goes to a product search for things that he sells, but that does not include his website.
And they showed some numbers here of the amount of people who click a result versus the amount of people who click an ad, and the changes are radically moving toward ads. And then they also had the no-click results, which presumably is what you're talking about, where, like, if I Google convert, you know, miles to kilometer, Google just does it.
Yeah.
Now, there are websites out there that'll do that for you, but Google's like, I'll just do that. That's a no-click. The information, my answer was given to me by Google, and I don't need any of the other search results. And that's costing websites traffic, they say.
I recently encountered this sort of product lookup thing, and it was very, very unhelpful. I think that spammers have already figured out how to game this, because I was looking for a plastic bit that goes between the metal handle and the control cartridge for a shower handle because it had broken. It's like the little plastic thing that grabs onto the metal thing in the shower that actually spins to let the water in the cartridge. And It had broken, but the handle was fine and the cartridge was fine. And so all I needed was that little piece of plastic. And I knew what the part number was. And so I Googled that with the manufacturer and I got a bunch of ad results. And I was like, oh, there it is. I'm going to click on that. And it took me to a page that was not that at all. It was that for a different brand of faucet, which was incompatible with my faucet. And if I wasn't really paying attention, I would have ordered the wrong thing.
And that's why I use DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, DuckDuckGo doesn't try to be smart.
Yeah, it is a little bit dumb sometimes. If you're looking up for a very specific meme photo, sometimes Google Images is better, but otherwise I just use DuckDuckGo.
Well, why else would I use a search engine?
I wonder if that's the AI or the algorithm being like, oh, we found this part that's a similar part from a different brand. You can just use this. Kind of like jeans. It's like, I want to order some jeans. And it's like, oh, we don't have any Wrangler jeans. Would you like some Levi's jeans? And it's like, it doesn't work that way with shower parts, Google.
Oh. All the teenage girls in the audience are like, well, it doesn't work like that with jeans either.
Yeah, so many teen girls in our audience.
Exactly, that's the joke. Apple is embroiled in this whole EU tax debacle, and they're no longer allowed to do the terrible, terrible things that they did for so long. But the EU wanted to claw back some of that money as well, and this one's surprising.
Apple has a 13 billion euro, I think it was almost $15 billion US, Irish tax bill overturned. This is the one that we reported on like 5 or 10 times. And what happened was there was a loophole, and Ireland helped Google take advantage of the loophole. And then the EU said, wait, that's not what we intended. So they changed the law, and then Apple changed the way that it was paying taxes. But then the European Union also wanted the taxes for like the prior 3 years. Like it was like they were backdating the tax law. And the European Union, the court in the European Union finally was like, you can't do that. That's insane. Why would you do that?
Now that's a $13 billion windfall. They probably had already planned, hey, worst case, we that's off the books, right? So they could afford to put like at least $2 billion of that toward some goodwill exercises, don't you think?
You would think
at
so.
At least $2 billion.
At least $2 billion. Oh, Axios is reporting on Apple putting $400 million toward affordable housing. Oh, no. $400 million was not the disappointing thing here. $400 million is only going to get you 250 housing units.
I was going to pull up the same thing. Oh.
But there's also going to be like some mortgage stuff in there.
Oh.
But for the public housing, yes. A small amount.
250 houses with $400 million. But I mean, I know California real estate is high, but surely they could do better than that.
Yeah, it's location, location, location. I mean, each one of those one bedrooms is worth $10 million.
The local place here added 512 really good size apartments, and it was under a $10 million project. I think it was only like $5
million. Yes. I mean, but
Those are nice buildings. They're brick. They're well made.
But this place is terrible. Actually, I'd rather live here than there. I'm not saying it's great, but you know, hey. The great thing about like, I guess, opportunity for employment. Although you know, old C-Chan is taking care of that. But the weather. I've never lived in a place that had that nice of weather. Now, we're going to walk outside in a minute and, like, you know, burst into flame. So I'm sure that it's wonderful, but I can't see it being worth that amount of money.
Yeah.
And I guess culture is another thing, but I don't want to be a part of that culture.
No. Either,
so. Yeah.
The thing is, you have to have so much money to participate in that culture. Like, it's like, oh, but there's all these amazing restaurants and all this. And it's like, well, I can't afford to go to the restaurants because my housing bill's so high. Like,
listen, what's I have enough panic attacks here? As it is. It's fine.
There's all these street performers, and you only have to get stabbed in the ankle with needles to see them.
They're literally going to be somebody sleeping in your car at night when you're not using it.
That guy, that's a different story. It was the surveillance camera story talking about. Like, literally in the parking lots, if you walk through a parking lot, it looks like a car lot because all of the inside of the cars are perfect. There's no mess or there's no, not even coins, because anything in your car makes it a target. So they keep them perfectly clean and perfectly empty.
Foreshadowing for the nonsense section later this week.
Sounds like paradise. Now, if you are one of these people who really needs a lot of horsepower to do, you know, like, especially for like multi-threaded stuff, you know, you're churning a lot of data. where do you go to buy your, you know, it's not a supercomputer, but it's more than you would ever think. And you're like, well, you can get that multi-CPU Xeon. That's the only way to go. Not anymore.
Lenovo and AMD launched Threadripper Pro to take on the Intel Xeon. So it's an upgrade over the Threadripper in that it's more like Epic than Threadripper. I'm surprised they didn't call it like Epic Workstation, but Threadripper Pro has the same memory. Threadripper Pro? I don't know. I don't know what I did there. It supports registered error correcting memory and up to 1 terabyte per socket. It's limited to a single socket workstation, but that is a completely normal and reasonable looking workstation. And the internal layout's pretty good. You know, there's 2 Quadros in there. We actually did a video on this when it was announced. But yeah, Lenovo. It's 2 5.25-inch bays. It's a normal looking workstation.
And Lenovo's got the exclusivity for a while.
Yeah, 280-watt TDP up to 4.3 gigahertz maximum boost. So the clocks are quite a bit higher than Epic, but you get registered error correcting memory. So regular Threadripper is limited to 256 gigabytes of memory, and you gotta get the RGB gamer keyboard. This is a fully integrated, fully qualified, tested with all your software. So now, it's gonna work.
I don't know if the standard, I think the standard is 512 gigabytes of memory and 20 terabytes of storage and 2 video cards. Maybe those are upgrades, but I think that's what you get in this box. $4,600. I would love to spec that against a Mac. That's $4,600.
It's going to be a bloodbath, I can tell you now. Because the 28-core Mac Pro CPU is anemic. So,
but the how much did the like the $50,000, how much RAM did the $50,000?
1.5 terabytes.
Okay. So, yeah, maybe it's got a little bit.
No, we can get...
You could spec that up to 10 grand.
You could do 2 terabytes, but they don't have the DIMMs in quantity. It'll be out in quantity by the time this thing comes to market, but right now it's hard to buy a terabyte worth of DIMMs that'll fit in 8 channels.
Still, that would be hilarious to put those up against each other. I'm not even talking about benchmarking. I'm talking about just what you get for the money.
Yeah, the Apple, it's a bloodbath.
Now, this one's interesting, and I think we may have actually fallen victim to some of these.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
In our news stories before, because you do get a lot of these little, they look like news channels, and it's just a string of numbers, like the call letters for the station. But it's like, that's weird, I've never heard of that before. Turns out maybe you've never heard of it before, because it only exists as this weird little propaganda website. It's not actually a quote-unquote news station. Although, like, are the regular news stations anything more than propaganda at this point?
Neiman Lab is reporting on what's the headline? Scroll down. Hundreds of hyper-partisan sites are masquerading as local news. This map shows if there's one near you. Yeah, they all look the same, and they all carry stuff that is designed to make people super angry. Hopefully,
there are indeed some near us.
Hopefully, there is a prosecutor that's looking into who owns and controls this somewhere. Wouldn't it be amazing if it was like...
They pointed out who owns and controls it.
It's like media something or other.
And there's more than one, but...
Do the one that's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's ours. So, now, as you can see, mostly right-wing, at least how these guys measure it. I mean, it's not like they come out in front and tell you, but I guess it's obvious because they're so partisan.
It's another case of the misuse of technology. It's like using technology to pit, you know, human against human. It's like, no, the only thing we want is for people to be reasonable. People to be reasonable to each other. Why is that so hard?
What's hilarious about this story is that they found, they only found 8 left-wing ones, but they found an additional 16 left-wing ones in the original story. But those 16 left-wing things, which were part of the same group, reached out to them and they're like, no, we're real. So they looked at left-wing news sites and they saw the headlines and they were like, hyper-partisan. But it turns out those were actual news sites.
We're doomed as a species.
And I don't know if I sorted this correctly. I hope I did. We're going to do a little race block. That won't be controversial at all, right?
Oh, no.
This headline is crazy because it's like, you could only have this headline in 2020. It's the language here just blows my mind.
Uber aims to become a more actively anti-racist company. The ride-hailing company unveils plans to increase black representation in leadership and support black-owned businesses. That seems like they're making race a component of things.
It seems like they're hiring based on race. Thought we had laws against that. Now, of course, you know, you could argue that we have laws against not hiring or, you know, making your decisions without actually coming out and saying it based on race, and we're trying to undo that, but I think the pendulum is going to swing a little too far in the other direction. That's a nice picture. Give me some Lego wheels. I'll make a stock photo. But they pointed out that their representation is like 3% in corporate and like 10% in the workforce. Although the black population is not that much of the country, is it?
Oh, that's nice. Uber Eats will extend a $0 delivery fee for black-owned business or black-owned restaurants for the rest of 2020. I mean, you know, good on them if they want to do that. Whatever. That's fine.
I mean, but here's the thing about it. Whether it's good or not, and this could be helpful. Now, the reason they're doing some of this stuff is they claim that black people are more affected by the virus. I don't know how we measure that. I think, again, it's based on percentages. And so part of this is like, okay, we're going to try to undo some of that change.
A lot of the horribleness goes all the way back to like the 1950s with just things like home loans. Like, it was really hard to get home loans. Just basic stuff like that. And then this is, you know, fast forward 70 years and this is the consequence of that.
70 years, or like 50.
Well, it went on for a long time, and then.
And Uber is not the only
still going on.
The only company that is, you know, like wading into the whole race conversation. I find it kind of terrifying. Have you read about some of these like re-education?
Yeah.
Things that they're doing.
Yeah.
I would never say anything because I'm smart enough to just, you know, play the game if I have to. But I can definitely see how some people would get upset. It's like, it's very condescending to tell me, hey, you're definitely a racist and we need to re-educate you. And some people in Cisco made some comments like that. They weren't that inflammatory. I wish this wasn't paywalled because I would love...
Well,
I think one was definitely All Lives Matter.
Yeah, well, the article, it implies that they were fired for saying All Lives Matter. But... it doesn't actually come right out and say that because it was like, we can't confirm the identity. So it's like, I don't know if the Bloomberg's playing a meta game here. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. And it's like, the headline is Cisco fires workers for racial comments. So they had an all hands meeting, I guess, and got everybody together. And it was like, these are the changes that we're going to make. And this is the things that we're going to do to support Black Lives Matter, blah, blah, blah. And the article says the Cisco said that they identified 247 people that had a negative reaction to that, 16 of which, I think, so that was the number, were fired. And then some of the other ones were going to the racism re-education camp. And some of the people just seem dumb. Like, some of the stuff that they said, it's just like tone-deaf idiocy more than racism. But
some of them were just like, I don't agree with this. Yeah. And that was enough to get you into the problem category.
So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. The Bloomberg article certainly implies that the All Lives Matter person was fired, but I don't. Yeah. I don't know.
But, well, they said more than that. They said Black Lives Matter is incorrect or is wrong. All lives matters. All lives matter. If they'd said it by itself, would that have been enough? I don't know. It's crazy that that's become a, like, that's something you're not allowed to say. Because it's, I disagree with it. I think the mattering of lives is an individual basis. Some definitely do not. But such a phrase, it's like such a heartwarming phrase. I could totally, like 5 years ago, maybe 10, you could carve that out of wood and paint it, put it up on a wall.
Maybe
nobody would argue.
Maybe we can solve this problem by deifying Mr. Rogers and just say, what would Mr. Rogers say?
I don't know. I think he'd play into it.
I don't know. I trust Mr. Rogers' judgment on those things because I don't know myself.
There was a darkness in there. All lives matter except for the ones dismembered in my basement. And speaking of which, There was a crazy story about a murder this week.
Yeah, this is a follow-up because we reported it last week, and then now it's like the tech CEO's former assistant is charged with his grisly murder. So it was Fahim Saleh. He was in his New York apartment or something, and his assistant was fired for stealing $90,000. Although if this was done by pros, and they knew that his assistant was fired for stealing $90,000, I mean, this would be a walk in the park to set it up.
Well, the problem with that is they've got the Uber record going to the Home Depot. They've got the Home Depot receipt with like a hacksaw and bleach and plastic bags. A
lot of plastic. Turns out those things set off warning flags.
And they've got surveillance footage of him returning to the apartment.
You ever buy the wrong stuff from Walmart and the little thing goes...
If you're gonna pro criminal tip, get this stuff in advance. But if it's too late and you don't have it yet, you definitely want to go to different locations. And for the love of God, don't use your credit card. Although, since you can't use cash now, that might be difficult, right?
No, you use your debit card. Or I guess you have to use your debit card, so you can get one like a Visa gift card, and just make it a little more difficult for
get
them
a prepaid card. Although they would probably, well, it wouldn't match your name though, would it?
Yeah,
that's good. That's good criminal tip, Krista.
With online shops because I'm nervous about putting my credit card information online.
But here's what you do. You buy a gift card at a different location and then drive and then get one item apiece. I mean, it's going to take time, but listen, this is murder charges. So this is crazy. Smart. This guy was, he had stolen $90,000 from the CEO. He was his personal assistant. And the guy gave him full trust of like his money and stuff. So he stole $90,000. The guy caught him. But he was such a softy, he was like, listen, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm not going to turn you into the cops. And if you tell me that you can turn your life around, I'll let you do like indentured servitude and work this off for me. And then you can go back to your old job. And so the guy weighed his options and murdered and dismembered him instead. He was caught in the act of parsing the body and bagging it. The cousin showed up and he had to flee.
What's in the bag? Nothing. Don't worry about it.
Imagine the cousin like walking in on that.
It's an office trust exercise.
No. We failed.
3D printing, it's one of those technologies that, again, it has not... The revolution of 3D printing just never happened. I mean, it's cool. You can do a lot of interesting things with it, but
it's filled a little bit of the darkness.
It's like the whole idea is like, don't even buy cups anymore. Just print them. Nobody's doing that.
No, it turns out you can poison yourself with microplastics.
Yeah, exactly. But when it comes to, the high-profile stuff, now this is not the usual medium of 3D printing. This is a special kind of powdered metal and laser application. You don't have this in your home, but it still can do really cool things.
Porsche found a way to 3D print lightweight pistons that add even more horsepower. Compared to their forged equivalent, Porsche's new pistons are 10% lighter and feature built-in cooling ducts.
There they are.
Nice.
They look?
They had to print supports with them. Look at that. They had little supports, so they have to drill out the middle there.
Did they drill it or did they just print it that way?
No, they print it that way because you have to do that to support the hole. But then they'll have to do some sort of step after the fact to knock a hole in it. Yeah, see?
So this is a special metal powder. They didn't say what the alloy was. Maybe they probably won't tell us that. And you just use a laser to blast it, make these things. And it's good enough for engine tolerances and 30 horsepower.
Nice. It might be Inconel, although that would be an odd material to make engine parts out of. That's what the Canadian company was 3D printing handguns with.
I wonder what the longevity of those things is. But you're not going to get them in any but the top level 911. So.
But in 50 years, every local mechanic is going to... It's like, you need an engine bracket for a 97 Ford Pinto? No problem. Maybe just queue up item number 318-277. Click and it just, it's like there's the part.
You mean you won't actually be having that conversation because the car will have driven itself to the mechanic?
No, the car that old is not self-driving. You're still going to have to drive it to the the mechanic, but they're just going to have a big metal box that will just print whatever car part you need.
In fact, car ownership, personal car ownership, will be illegal at that point.
Yeah. You rent your car permanently forever.
Yeah. And if there's you a homeless person sleeping in the back, you do not disturb them. That's their right.
That's their right. It's like there's a law in certain places where somebody has the right to hunt and fish on your land, even if it's your land somewhere. It's like some kind of nature preserve thing. Heard of that.
Noise-canceling headphones. So, if you don't know how noise-canceling headphones work, what is the magic? Well, actually, they just try to play the sonic opposite of the noise that's coming in. And, you know, the way sound waves work tends to cancel out. It's like algebra. And some really crazy people said, you know what? Let's forget trying to do that inside your ears. Let's just do it everywhere.
Scientists say you can now cancel noise but keep your window open. So they're setting up microphones in the window, and then this system will play the opposite sound as the sound comes through the window, canceling it out. It's not a perfect thing. It's not like a cone of silence or anything like that, but it is good for a 10 dB reduction in sound coming from the outside.
But you do have to mount 24 speakers to your window. And how do you think those are powered? I mean, you got cords.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nightmare. It's a
small price to pay.
It's only good for certain ranges of sounds, which unfortunately do not include human voice. But jackhammers and car horns apparently does a pretty good job. 10 decibels. It's quite a bit. You know what? That'll be useful for gunfire when the revolution comes. Sleep right through it.
Can you imagine a silencer, an active silencer? We should get on designing that. Where it's like, it's not designed to actually silence the weapon. It's just a parabolic dish pointed at the gun detection things to make the thing that listens for gunfire not be able to hear the gunfire.
Well, you could just mount one right on it.
Well, it's on top of a pole, so I'm assuming that we want something reasonably portable.
Well, just get like little sticky bomb versions of it. Throw them up there.
Nah, we need something that doesn't leave behind any evidence. I mean, if we're going to frame somebody for something, we need to, like, in a van, like a service van. Like, you drive up in the Morton window cleaning service or whatever, and it points this little parabolic grid at the thing, and then the field guy can go do his thing.
All right, next time there's a riot anywhere near here, let's go and see if we can get a hold of one of those LRADs.
We could repurpose it, yeah. Anybody ever go to a military auction, pick up one of those for us for cheap? We got some constructing.
Ryan's the one who's always looking at them auctions.
I don't know if they'll sell that to a civilian. Chris, to that van, you got to get that van. I haven't checked it recently.
Is it still up?
It was up to $300 last time I looked at it.
You know, what?
$300.
$300. That's not bad for a van.
Yeah.
You know, they also don't sell Soviet era surface to air missiles, but there was that one guy who was able to buy enough parts on the surplus market to construct his own.
They do sell those, just not to Americans. Well, moving on to the robot section, we all know, we've seen Google's amazing, I can't remember what they called it, but the thing where like it would call you and make appointments and answer your phones.
Oh, yeah, that's never come to life.
And it was very impressive, although later I think they were kind of accused of faking some of that. It was a little too good to be true, maybe. But that doesn't mean that when you call up a major corporation, you're not going to be talking to a robot. But here's the crazy thing. If you demand to talk to a person, you still can't be sure that ultimately you're not talking to a robot.
You call Verizon, a Google bot answers. You demand a human. The human is told what to say by the bot. So that's talking about Google's, what is it called? Contact Center AI to automate customer service.
And not only will it do that, but when you call up, you can just begin complaining. And apparently the AI is good enough at parsing the information so you don't have to go through that whole, like, you know, speaking to the prompts and stuff. The robot's just like, okay, that's what this person wants. They'll never really help you.
Seems like that'll end badly.
But they'll know.
There's a few really disturbing recordings on YouTube of, you get a call and it sounds human, but there's somebody that can barely speak English that's basically just running a soundboard. And so, like, every possible response that you could have, there's pre-programmed responses, and they just hit a button because they're not allowed to talk to you directly.
So you just have to start asking, like, really bizarre questions to, like, throw that off?
Yeah, like in one of the videos, it's like, you know, it's like, are you a robot? And like the first recorded answer is like, ha ha ha, no. I mean, are we on a bad connection? Does it sound bad? And then they ask again, it's like, are you a robot? And then they just get a very flat no. And then it's like, are you sure you're not a robot? And then they get the first recording again. And it's exactly the same as the intonation, like with the same laughter and everything. It's like, ah, Kaden. No.
They were in the boardroom and it's like, how many layers deep do we need to go with this? And it's like, well, the monkeys we're putting into these call centers, they're not going to be able to go more than two. What if they ask again?
It's like the new Fallout games have a better dialogue tree than the call centers that are, you know, quote unquote, with real people.
It's a dark world. So this is an invention that could not be timed better. Because you go out to the grocery store, you mask up. Some people still don't. And you carefully stay away from everybody. But at one point, you do have to let another human being touch your goods. There's no getting around it. Right? You can do the self-checkout. If you self-checkout, maybe, but now we're out of coins. So it's like that's limited. And weird things are happening. But what if the cashier was just eliminated? Not the job. They assure us that the jobs are going to be fine. I don't understand exactly how that works.
That's a lie.
Somehow that's not going to kill jobs.
That's going to kill jobs.
Yeah.
Amazon introduces DashCart, essentially an Amazon Go store on wheels. This smart shopping cart automatically scans your stuff so you can skip checkout. I don't know why. We don't need this. I mean, this would be for like elderly people. You can just do this on your phone. It's like scan stuff as you put it in your cart with your phone.
I think Meijer has that.
That exists.
Yeah, they do.
Meijer does it.
But this, you know, that is... you have to take steps. My parents are never going to figure that out. I can't get them to use Spotify on a phone. They just can't do it. So it's like they'll never figure this out. But this thing doesn't require that because it's filled with cameras and weights just like Amazon Go. And you toss stuff in your cart. It figures out what it costs. It charges you for it. Now, there is one flaw in this plan in the modern world that we live in where it's like creepy if people touch things. And that's this portion of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about a touch screen.
Maybe we can get the UV robot to sterilize the carts. You know, the one that rolls around and with the giant UV lights. Just
it could work. Or you could just
mount. How expensive do you think this is?
Way too expensive.
Yeah, crazy expensive. Although...
So not going to destroy the jobs immediately.
Every day, I mean, how many cashiers can you eliminate with this? Three?
In, like, San Francisco.
So every day it's paying back, you know, hundreds of dollars.
Somewhere there's a bean counter that is like... This shopping cart will save us money in San Francisco, but human beings in, you know, rural New York, the upstate New York, they don't cost that much. So we're not going to roll these out in upstate New York, but we are going to totally replace these in San Francisco because people cost too much there.
Here's the big question. If you ever watched Trailer Park Boys, do they let this thing out of the building to go to your car?
No.
Ooh.
So how do you solve that?
No. The wheels lock up as soon as it crosses the threshold.
But I mean, I still have to get my stuff to my car.
No, well, it's funny because there are actually places where it is such a problem that the shopping carts get stolen. There are shopping carts where the wheels will lock up once it moves beyond a certain amount of distance from the store.
They can do that. The one where you have to put the quarter in, and when you put it back in the corral, the quarter comes back, but it's a 50. But that might even be enough.
Yeah, you can still harvest a lot of technology out of that. It'll be like the scooters where it's like, I'm just going to take the scooter home and harvest the parts out of it.
Yeah, the weight system. I mean, there's so many cool things in there. So I think that's got to be a sticking point. Because
any idea what I can do with a Raspberry Pi and these guts?
If I get, you know, a water and a big bag of cat food and cat litter, plus my other groceries, there's no way I'm getting that to my car.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, self-driving cars, the big prediction, the level 5 this year, will it happen? Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but there is one guarantee. Sometimes, especially if roads around here, at some point those cars are going to run into something and they're not going to know how to deal with it. So what happens? How do you rescue a self-driving car that's gotten itself into a terrible situation? And up until this point, a lot of the car companies didn't want to talk about that, but Voyage is willing to show us, and it's kind of brilliant, but also kind of terrifying.
This self-driving startup built a car without wheels for remote driving. Voyage, I guess it's Voyage and not Voyage. Pulled back the curtain on this thing. Yeah, it's got a cellular connection to a car somewhere in the field. Five cellular connections, five SIMs for redundancy. And that will let this guy pilot your car against whatever the AI can't deal with.
And this is all exactly the same hardware that goes in the car, so the experience is one-to-one. It's not like a Logitech wheel here. These are all real. I guess they probably don't have clutches in self-driving cars, but you know, real gas, real brake, and real wheel. Everything works the same, and you got all these various little screens to simulate what the driver would see out the windows, or I guess where the cameras are on the self-driving car. Got to be a high-pressure job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because once those things were rolling in the actual streets, do you think you would have constant saving to do if you were one of these employees?
Yes.
Just one to the next?
Well, think about Tesla Autopilot. Like, Elon Musk could deploy a fleet of these, but Autopilot isn't meant to be on the whole time. But could he get regulatory approval to be like, these guys are going to handle everything that Autopilot doesn't handle completely? Would the five cellular connections be good enough?
I'm sure we'll find out. Man, there are going to be some crazy stories about the stress from that job.
Couldn't be any worse than an air traffic controller.
No, I think there's a lot more lives at stake with air traffic controllers. Those cars were also limited to some, like 25 miles an hour or something like that.
Mm.
So they don't have to worry too much at this point.
In a lot of ways, I would think that interstate driving would be a lot safer with a setup like that and autopilot. As long as autopilot's mostly doing everything, and anytime autopilot was like, I'm not sure, or that person is responsible for keeping an eye on the autopilot system, I would think interstate driving would be a lot safer than city driving.
What's the connection time? Because your I'm not sure at interstate speed is like 2 seconds, 3 seconds?
Not even three, I would think.
When those police cars are parked halfway on the road?
I would think that your reaction time is much less in the city because like a little kid could dart out in front of you, and that's when your like sub 1 second response time is important.
Again, I think we'll find out. And it'll probably be terrifying when it happens. Now this one, unfortunately, you know, you're going to have to click on the one tab and get your link here to listen to the samples. They were okay.
No,
they're kind of weird.
Yeah, I think what they were trying to use this for is background vocals, which I kind of get. But the impressive thing is, those just completely from a backlog of people's voices. They didn't participate at all.
Microsoft's AI generates voices in quotation marks, that sing in Chinese and English. I don't know what it is about this, because like normally music doesn't have any kind of effect on me, but like whatever these voices are is like nails on a chalkboard.
It's the uncanny valley of voice.
Yeah.
It's
just
it triggers something in my brain that's like, turn this off. I don't want this.
Murder it.
Yeah.
It's not a real human. It's not a dog.
Smash. It's like lizard brain reaction. I don't know, but it's just like, no, this is not real.
So yeah, they got some, you should play the samples here, see what we're talking about. Also, talk about an unfortunate name in 2020.
I also noticed that.
It's Kyle Wiggers.
Oh.
Just think about changing it, maybe. Now this one...
Dang it.
Krista, I've heard you talk about synesthesia before. I feel like it's something that interests you.
Oh, we're like... see colors when you hear sound.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, chat, and guess that Krista didn't read the article.
What? You cut out for a minute.
Why don't you read the headline for us?
Neural synesthesia when art meets GANs?
So yeah, GANs. That's the neural networks. So I'm going to... I've muted this tab so that we can... I didn't switch to the headline. I'm muted this tab so we can watch this video, and this is, I imagine this is probably what it's like to take DMT, maybe? I don't know, but it is crazy. So this guy took images. Let's skip ahead. It takes a while to start cooking. He took a set of images and fed those in, and then somehow they read the music and then morph. Oh, it is...
It's strange, isn't it?
I hear it through the headphones. But like, yeah, so you got like a
study to.
You got like a cityscape, and then it's just it's melting into something else, and it flashes with the beat. I don't know how much other than that the music is affecting it, but this is some trippy stuff.
I think it makes sense.
Happens pretty slowly. Oh. Oh my god. And then so there's some, I guess he went with like landscapes and stuff. There's some images. Oh, look at this.
That's straight up bearded happy guy.
Escher.
No, Escher other bearded there? Happy guy.
Oh, the Bob Ross.
Bob Ross, yeah.
Oh, it looks like little sushis. Anyway, just really impressive. So you could take a set of images, put it to your music, and it will create this Tripping Balls music video for you.
I can't. Do you not have this experience when you listen to music? Wendell, you're probably an outlier. Like,
no, I don't, Krista. No.
not like this trippy, but like you don't like see images or like associate certain songs with images or like colors or...
Yeah, I don't think we're smoking the same stuff before we listen to music, Krista. Mm. Krista, if you're having that experience when you listen to music, how are you ever bored?
What?
Like, you really do see stuff like that when you listen to music?
Not like that. It doesn't look like that. But, like, you don't, like, kind of have ideas of images or, like, pictures of things when you listen to music?
Not really.
The only visualizations I can think of when listening to music is like what Winamp used to do.
Yeah, that was cool. This is an amazing version of that, but unfortunately he said it takes 3 to 4 days to process all the images for a 12-minute piece of music.
He needs a Threadripper Pro workstation or two.
I'm sure that would speed it up into real time.
Maybe we could do a collaboration.
Also, I have no idea how many images went into that. I bet it was a lot.
Yeah.
So it seemed like there was a grouping to the image because we were clearly seeing like cityscape. And there was one where it was pictures of the Earth and other planets. And then you went into landscapes. So I don't know. I would like to see this with different kinds of music. I would like to see some really hardcore gangster rap fed that. That'd be cool. You could do like, what if you did like, you know, like some hipster, you know, folky anti the man music and put the protest pictures in there.
Alex Jones as a folk song.
That would be a super hit if somebody would do that. You get a lot of clicks from that.
I wonder if there's an archive of whiny protest songs from the 60s, and then we could take that and turn that into something interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of them were hits. Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And finally, we'll end up on, this is really a lot of people's favorite robot and a hit story. He comes out, you know, like every year or so, you'll get a new story about this old boy, and he never fails to please. Everybody loves him. Now he has a new job, the most high-profile job he's ever had.
Meet White Castle's new robot chef, Flippy. Flippy's back. And Flippy's cost is down to only $15,000. He doesn't need a subscription anymore or anything like that. It's going to pay for himself at whatever White Castle locations he's installed at in just a matter of weeks.
Now, they insist, once again, somehow, this is not going to cost any jobs.
Well, White Castle popularity has gotten incredible just because it's fast and easy, and they have one of the fastest fast food lines because everybody's interested in driving through now. No one is interested in going in anymore for some reason.
But yeah, the normal cost for Flippy is $30,000 plus $15,000 a year, and for whatever reason, probably because White Castle has, you know, billions of dollars and they say we're going to put them in all the stores if you play ball, it's only going to cost them $15,000.
Woo!
And, yeah, they said they're going to transition the people that would be flipping burgers to other parts of customer relations. But what about the people that were doing those customer relations?
No, before? Don't worry about those people. Those aren't, you know, they'll transition into new jobs and it'll be an opportunity for them.
Somebody was already doing those jobs unless we're just creating new. Like, is somebody just going to go out and dance?
It has to do with White Castle scalability in the new post-normal world, as we've come to call it.
So yeah, I don't. I'm not a fan of White Castle. Their chicken is better than their beef, but those little burgers.
Crystal is no competition. I mean, White Castle. If you've had Crystal little chicken sandwiches, White Castle will be disappointing.
Oh, you prefer Crystal?
I do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's been a while since I've had the Crystal ones. The Crystal ones, I always thought it was interesting. Like, I was pro pickle, but some people were angrily anti-pickle.
Well, if you tell them, they won't put the pickle on it. You can't unput the pickle on it.
What about Flippy? Does he know?
He would know. I mean, yeah. Probably an app on your phone, and he's going to be much less inclined to make that mistake because you can actually, like, if they put the pickle on, and then they're like, oh, crap, you didn't want pickles, and you take it off, there's pickle remnants.
Yeah, you can't go back from pickle.
I can understand why people would be militantly angry about that because it's like, oh, I put it on, oh, I got to take it off. Or if they've got, you know, they've got the tray that are already made because it turns out, you know, there's not a lot of options there. And they're like, oh, this person doesn't want pickle. Let me just take the pickle off the ones that were already made. Again, I can understand how somebody would be militantly angry about that because it's not the same. It's like desalting your fries. It's like, I need fries without salt. It's like, that's just not going
to
happen.
Well, I think the engagement challenge needs to be pro or anti-pickle for the tiny chicken sandwich.
We're going to confuse the heck out of the algorithm. You need to post pro or anti-pickle.
And use
pro-pickle.
Use emojis.
Is there a pickle emoji? There's not a pickle emoji.
Is there not?
I don't think there is. I think it's only
I'll look it up. I don't even know if there's a cucumber.
You know what's really terrible?
There is a cucumber.
There's a burrito emoji, but even more strangely, there's a tamale emoji, but it's misspelled.
So either cucumber or cucumber with like the no smoking next to it. For pickle.
Wow. I can't believe they actually have a cucumber emoji. I posted it.
Oh, believe it.
Oh,
believe
they
it,
do?
Krista. It's 2020.
Wow. Hmm.
The future is now.
I thought it was supposed to be eggplant.
No, eggplant is a euphemism for penis.
Well, can't cucumber be as well? What? Everything works. Euphemism for penis. So Friday, we'll talk about some nonsense and a little bit of security. And Chris, you didn't weigh in on pickle versus non-pickle.
I am pickle. I'm here for pickles.
Mm. Okay. Do you think you could grow a cucumber or would they kill themselves?
I have a cucumber growing in my garden right now.
All
right.
Does it seem like it's emotionally healthy?
It seems okay. It's actually a pretty good size. None of the others have been fertilized, but for whatever reason, this one pulled through.
I would be worried about the cucumbers trying to exterminate all the other non-cucumbers.
Krista, give us a someone who desperately needs bees goodbye.
Goodbyes.
That was a good one.
That was good.